This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour. As another week begins, I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We have a little extra time today to talk about issues of the economy and the markets, because the markets are observing the King holiday.
And the Noon Business Hour presented by Old Second Bank. It's going to be a cold one here in Chicagoland today. A few flurries still lingering, but we're getting little peaks of the sun as we head to a high of 16 degrees. Wind chills throughout the day going to hover right about zero. In the overnight hours tonight, a low of 12, but temperatures starting to rise as the night goes along. And then tomorrow, not nearly as cold as today. We'll get up above freezing. High tomorrow of 36 degrees. Maybe a little bit of ice, rain, even snow tomorrow afternoon into the evening hours. Right now at O'Hare, 15 degrees. Midway has 14. And along Chicago's lakefront, it's 15 degrees. The wind chill makes it feel like just one.
Well, we're going to be examining some reports today here in the United States and around the globe. China is posting slow growth. We're going to find out what that means and how that affects the United States. That is just one of the economic questions that we're going to be asking here on the Noon Business Hour today.
Mark Hulbert is going to be joining us with a contrarian point of view on how we should be investing these days. And it is Stock Picker Monday on Investing Pro. Chuck Carlson's going to join us. He's going to give you a couple of ideas for your portfolio, and he will also tell us what the Dow theory is saying these days. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Information you can bank on. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The price of oil is rising today, although the cost of gas has been on the decline recently. We'll check trends in our next segment. Right now, though, the IMF has released its latest global growth forecast, while the week ahead will include an update on U.S. home sales, plus a snapshot of the manufacturing sector. To talk about it, we're joined by Tom Hudson, week ahead columnist at McClatchy Tribune News Services, based in Miami. Tom, let's begin with this IMF update. It looks like they're not seeing much of a change to the U.S., but other areas, especially the Eurozone, some changes.
Yeah, very much so. Softening demand in Europe coming from the International Monetary Fund. The group is expecting the global economy to grow essentially at its weakest level in 3 years. So it doesn't paint a great picture, and you layer that on top of the GDP numbers we got out of China over the weekend, which again, at 6 or 6.5%, still enviable, certainly, but out of China representing a pretty significant slowdown. You've got some headwinds building on the economic front outside of the United States, while obviously the United States is dealing with the partial government shutdown and lots of concern about what the coming deadline, self-imposed deadline on the trade tariffs with China is going to mean for a lot of U.S. exporters. So still lots of uncertainty on this holiday. This IMF global economic forecast does not provide a whole lot of stability or assurance that things are going to really pick up any steam as opposed to just kind of grind ahead worldwide this year.
In fact, the IMF's managing director, Christine Lagarde, said after 2 years of solid expansion, the world economy is growing more slowly, and she says it's facing a significantly higher risk.
Yeah, across the board, right? I mean, a lot of geopolitical risk, certainly, a lot of domestic risk. We, for instance, haven't seen the South American economy, Brazil especially, has pulled itself out of recession, but has not exploded with any kind of robust economic growth. Japan remains kind of where it's been for a good long time. In the United States, grinding ahead to 2.5% GDP. Maybe we're going to be in the case where it's the least dirty shirt again in the global laundry basket, so to speak.
All right, so let's move forward into some of the other data. Obviously, global growth important. President Trump back and forth with the Fed for quite a while, but it kind of seems like that's blown over now.
blown over in terms of the statements coming out of the president and the Twitter comments that he was making regarding the Federal Reserve. But I got to tell you, Cisco, I mean, what's interesting here is the Federal Reserve is moving, is in its quiet period now. So you're not going to hear much talk out of the Federal Reserve this week as it is looking toward its first meeting of 2019 next week, a two-day meeting. And, you know, for years, the Fed has been very clear with the market that in terms of its decisions on short-term interest rates, it's going to be dependent on what the economic data tells it. Well, increasingly, with the partial government shutdown, it's not getting that economic data from the government. The Commerce Department is shut down. So new home sales due out this week, not going to happen. Durable goods orders due out this week, not going to hit the tape at all. More and more reliant on, frankly, just the Federal Reserve regional banks and their ability to suss out what's happening in the region of the United States, as well as these private providers of economic data like the Institute of Supply Management and Redbook Retail Sales are going to take on, at least for the short term, probably more importance than they have in the past.
Is there, I'm wondering here if the fact that we're probably several weeks away, March could be the next rate hike, if that's when this back and forth might get ramped up again.
Yeah, it certainly could. And I think, you know, it's the Federal Reserve is obviously always worth watching here, but in this era that we're in this, you know, 31 days of a government shutdown, how the drop-off in government economic data is impacting planning and analysis at the Federal Reserve is going to be fascinating to listen to next week.
And for investors, and not the traders, but for the investors, this must be kind of an unquiet time. You know, you want to you want to get in there. The market did well today, blah, you know, whatever.
Yep.
But do you dive in?
January's been a great month, right? I mean, but let's not forget what October and November and December were like. It was a bloodbath for long-term investors. But long-term investors do need to take some kind of solace in the fact that the horizon is out there. Earnings season is in full swing right now. And with the lack of government economic data, that provides even more impetus on what corporations are saying and teasing out from these earnings calls what these large companies can tell us about the broader economy. Johnson & Johnson, IBM, United Technologies, Texas Instruments, Ford, all of them posting results this week, and all of us, all of that giving long-term, broad, diversified investors a picture of not only what the U.S. economy looks like, but really what some of these multinational companies are experiencing, especially in Europe now with the with some of the softness there, as well as what they're experiencing in China. That's going to be important for long-term investors.
Thanks for joining us today, Tom Hudson, week ahead columnist at McClatchy Tribune News Services in Miami. Up next, what's driving lower gas prices and can they last?
An hour of financial planning each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The price of oil is recovering from recent lows that have pushed the cost of gasoline down. Let's see what may lie ahead with the help of Phil Flynn, senior market analyst at Price Group, also a Fox Business News contributor based here in Chicago. Phil, thanks for being with us. What has led to the recent downturn in gas prices? We've been getting some pretty good deals at the pump.
We sure have. In fact, these are the good old days. So go out there and enjoy these gasoline prices because it's not going to get any better than this. I mean, one of the things we saw earlier in the year, Cisco, is OPEC was caught flat-footed by Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump told them, hey, you better raise production because we're going to put sanctions on Iran and we're going to need extra oil. Then Donald Trump kind of hoodwinked them and said, hey, you know what, no sanctions. Then we had an oversupply of oil and prices crashed. That's why we're getting these low gas prices. But things are changing right now. OPEC, you know, it was upset about that. Now they are serious about cutting production. They're going to drive those oil prices back up, and those gasoline prices will surely follow.
And is that what we've been seeing? Because lately it does seem like there's been an uptick in oil prices.
It really is. I mean, we're seeing the impact of the OPEC production cut. The mood is changing, but it's also optimism about the global economy. If you remember at the end of the year, the stock market was crashing. Everybody thought the world was coming to an end. We were going into a recession. People are realizing, hey, maybe that's not the case, and the demand for oil is a lot better. Even in China, we got data that their economy slowed dramatically, but it doesn't show up in their oil demand. They imported a record amount of oil last year. So there's a kind of an oxymoron when it comes to the economy and gasoline demand right now.
You have a pretty good way of seeing what's coming, don't you, Phil? You know when it's coming? higher or lower?
We try, yeah. I mean, and one of the things that is easy about knowing what's coming is spring. You know, and as cold as it is today, spring is coming. And when spring comes, so do higher gasoline prices. So even though we have plenty of supply right now, as we get closer to spring, we switch to those summertime blends of gasoline. So the bad news is we're going to pay higher gasoline prices. The good news is someday spring will be here.
Well, and they do go up, but they always come back down, too.
They generally do. And, you know, a lot's going to depend, I think, over the next few months on, you know, the Trump deal with China. Are we going to get a trade deal with China? I think if we do, that's going to be really strong for global demand, and demand will exceed expectations, and that will drive prices higher.
So when it comes to drivers who are enjoying these gas prices, I mean, what do we do, Phil? Do we get like a 1,500-gallon tank in our backyard or something?
It wouldn't be a bad idea, you know, if you have some extra room. It's that kind of a situation where these prices are going to go up. But even, you know, worst-case scenario, we could put on another dollar a gallon over the next year and a half, so it's not going to be the end of the world because, you know, there's some places, you know, around the Chicago area right now, you're below $2 a gallon. So, you know, the good news is that even though prices are going up from a historical basis, they'll still be below the all-time highs, even with the price increases.
Good insight. Thanks, Phil. Phil Flynn, Senior Market Analyst at Price Group.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Markets are closed today in observance of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday.
We'll take advantage of the day off from trading to take a step back, get some different perspectives on the direction of Wall Street.
It's Stock Picker Monday. You'll get a couple of suggestions from a money pro.
Chicago area and communities across the country hold events honoring the legacy of Dr. King.
No market action today. They are closed in observance of the King Day holiday.
Well, it is a chilly day. We've got some sunshine right now, but expect not too much after that. It's 15 degrees. The wind chill index is 1.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank.
It's a day off on Wall Street in observance of the Martin Luther King holiday, and that gives us a chance to take a breath and assess where the markets are right now. Jack Ablin joins us. Jack is Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Wealth Advisors in Chicago. And how would you describe the markets right now, Jack, besides being closed?
Besides being close, right. Actually, reasonably optimistic, at least relative to where investor attitudes were at the beginning of the year. So I think all in all, the fact that we don't see a recession in sight, I think, is incrementally good news, and the market seems to reflect that.
So you're optimistic. What other things have you seen that would tip that off?
Sure. So, I mean, I would say emblematic of this kind of market, analysts had, as recently as September, had expected first quarter earnings for S&P companies to come in roughly 17% higher year over year for the fourth quarter. And over the course of the last few weeks, that number has dropped to about 11%. So I think that kind of sums it up, that we've had high expectations, we've lowered them. But even if you strip away where we are, 11%, that's still pretty good, even though, it's certainly lower than it's been over the last few weeks.
Let's talk about maybe some winners sector-wise. President Trump's been in office 2 years, markets up, then down, now slowly getting back up. Any sectors that have been big winners?
Sure. I mean, you know, if you look at the sector sector bets this year, all 10, actually now 11, economic sector groups of the S&P are up, with energy leading the way higher. Remember, we had that, you know, plunge in oil prices, and we've since had a bit of a rebound. So oil prices, oil stocks are up about 11 or so percent year to date. Financials also, took a big hit toward the end of the year. They've kind of rebounded back the most, so financials. But those tech companies, those the leaders of most of last year, trailing the market, actually, with the market up about 6.5%. Tech companies are only up about 5.3%. So what we may be seeing, and I think we talked about this last time I was on your program, is perhaps we're starting to see a little bit of rotation out of this large cap, mega cap growth and into smaller cap, mid cap value. We'll see if that trend has legs as we move further into this year.
And certainly a contrast next to our very first big high tech surge, which, you know, had a very unhappy ending.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we found was that when you give investors aggressively low interest rates to take on more risk than they're probably comfortable with, they're going to tend to go toward those large cap momentum names that everyone's familiar with. And we saw the same thing happen in 1999, 2000 under Greenspan. Same kind of, you know, it was the tech bubble, but what we're seeing is sort of an echo, if you will, of that tech boom that we had late 99, early 2000. And what I remarked was that as the tech story rolled over, what really rose from the ashes were smaller cap value, which ended up leading large cap growth for probably 5 or 6 years after that. So we'll see. I think there are a couple of other dynamics going on. One is this huge trend. Investors have favored index funds and ETFs. You know, if you sell your actively managed mutual fund and you buy a large cap exchange traded fund, what you're really doing is selling small cap value and buying large cap growth. And to the extent that that wave is ebbing a little bit, that could also be an added benefit for the small cap value, which really has been left for dead over the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, some of the analysis that you provided earlier about what has gone on over the last couple of years, obviously everyone's concerned with what's going to happen in the future and not as concerned with what's already happened. But is it a good reminder that over the last couple of years, we've had a pretty decent run? I mean, we had a rough patch at the end of last year, but overall recent history has been pretty good.
It has. I think, Cisco, if you remember, if you think about it, ultimately the stock market is a reflection of the economy, and sometimes it runs away from the economy a little bit, either to the positive side or the negative side. I think perhaps a little bit last year, at least early last year, we ran ahead of the economy. You know, if you strip away the economic growth and maybe the last couple quarters, we've really had pretty solid, steady, slow economic growth since the recovery of 2009, and as long as we can continue to move in that kind of stair step fashion, the equity market should follow along. If we run ahead of ourselves, we'll have to correct. But in general, I think we're on very solid fundamental footing. I would say the only real long term concern that other investors aren't really focused on right now is our levels of debt. But, you know, that's a longer-term concern, not something that we're probably going to fret over in 2019.
Jack Ablin, always good insight and analysis. Thanks for being with us. Jack is Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Wealth Advisors here in Chicago. Up next, a contrarian's view of the stock market.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
We're digging deep into the markets this afternoon. The last time we spoke with our next guest, the contrarian view was extremely bullish. Let's get an update now from Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, MarketWatch.com, based in Washington, D.C. Mark, the last time we had you on the show, you said green light for investors, and ever since then, things have been going pretty well.
Yeah, this is one of those times that contrarian analysis can claim a victory. I don't want to overclaim that or get inflated about it. No system works all the time, but it is a good illustration of how when things are looking pretty dark, they can actually be a good time to step up to the plate. The famous saying on Wall Street is that the time to buy is when the blood is running in the streets. I don't know if that was a literal statement or more figurative, but it definitely felt pretty bad there right after Christmas, and it's looking a lot better now.
So what was it that you were seeing, data or otherwise, that made you think that things were going to begin turning around, at least in the short term?
Well, we track sentiment in an objective way. What we do is we track over 100 market timers, short-term market timers. These are the people who try to tell you what percentage of your portfolio ought to be in the market, out of the market, or short stocks and that sort of thing. And we track it on a daily basis. We look at the end of every day and see what they're recommending to their clients. And we simply average together all of their recommended exposure levels and we come up with a single number. And that number fluctuates wildly, as you can imagine. But at the right after Christmas, it reached a low that, at least according to some of the indexes that we create, hadn't been seen in years. So it was actually an interesting thing, even though the market was still much higher than it was up until at least a year prior to that late December reading. The mood among investors was actually a lot more gloomy. And that indicated that at least the odds were that over the short term, the market was probably going to go to the upside.
What kind of signal do you see when it is just right before everything falls apart?
Well, it's not a pinpoint accuracy. I mean, things had started to look pretty gloomy already in early December, and the market continued to go down, and then it got even gloomier, of course. But we simply look at the average exposure to the market among these advisors, and it fluctuates from periods of extreme pessimism, like we saw then, all the way to extreme optimism at the other. And what's interesting right now is even though we've had the strongest start to the market in something like 30-some years, we still aren't seeing excessive optimism. Right now, most of the timers we track are still out of the market, which is to say that they got burned probably so much by that real quick decline that we saw in December that they're not giving the benefit of the doubt to the market. At least historically, a market rally will come to an end when people start believing in it again. That's just the opposite of the contrarian phenomenon we saw in December. And we're not seeing it yet, which is to suggest that the winds probably are blowing in the direction of higher prices, or at least in the sales of a rally continuing.
What do you see right now?
Well, right now, it's interesting. People are still willing to look at the glass and say it's half empty rather than half full. I wouldn't say that fundamental factors are all that different than when we last talked. If you look at just back, it was not even quite a month ago when we last spoke. Yes, people were worried about the prospect of government shutdown, a trade war, a possibility of a recession, higher interest rates. These are the same phenomena that people are worried about now. Have things changed diametrically? No. But people started looking at at that same set of phenomena and said, well, no, maybe the world isn't going to come to an end. There will come a time when people are looking at the same phenomena and say, there's nothing to worry about and happy days are here again. That's the time when contrarians will say, you know what? That we're going to leave that last dollar for somebody else and start taking our own chips off the table.
Good stuff. Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com. Thanks for being with us, Mark. This time tomorrow, Travel Tuesday. Still to come, our Monday stock picker.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Stock Picker Monday. Helping us out this afternoon, Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast Newsletter in Hammond. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Chuck, what's your first pick today?
The first pick is Thermo Fisher Scientific. The symbol is TMO. The company's an interesting way to play kind of healthcare markets without getting into pharmaceuticals and some of those traditional players. The firm is a leading provider of a variety of analytical instruments and other laboratory equipment primarily used in the life sciences and the pharmaceuticals for testing, pharmaceutical drugs, et cetera. And they've kind of become, via acquisitions over the years, kind of the one-stop shop, so to speak, for entities, whether they're government entities or private research firms or drug companies, et cetera, the go-to place to get their equipment. The stock has a nice history of earnings growth. I think you're going to see record profits this year. The stock has pulled back slightly from its 52-week high. It's down around 5 to 7%. And all in all, it's a nice growth play and a way to play healthcare that's a little bit different. Again, Thermo Fisher Scientific, the symbol is TMO.
And they're having a good day today, up about a 1 percentage point.
Yeah, that was
I think that was on Friday.
Friday.
Yes, Friday they had a pretty good day. All right.
Maybe they're having a good day today. I don't know. They're on vacation maybe, so it's a good day.
Well, given the track record at the end of last year, any day people aren't down is pretty much a good day. All right. Thermo Fisher Scientific, that's the first pick. What's your second pick?
Second pick is a bank, Citizens Financial. The symbol is CFG. Banks were notoriously poor performers in 2018. I think that's going to change in 2019. Citizens is coming off. They just announced last week their fourth quarter earnings, and it was pretty solid. They had a decent quarter. They look for decent things in 2019. With that, you get a dividend yield of 3.2%, so you get a nice dividend yield to wait for further recovery in the stock. And you're also buying a stock that's down 25% from its 52-week high. So all in all, it's a play in a group that I think is going to have a much better year in 2019. You get dividend yield, and you can buy it at a pretty reasonable price right now. That's Citizens Financial. Symbol is CFG.
Chuck, give us, if you will, where is the Dow theory right now?
Yeah, the Dow theory turned bearish in December 14th. What the Dow theory is looking at right now is we've had a rally, obviously a pretty good rally, off those Christmas Eve lows. At some point, we would expect that rally to peter out and have a retest of those previous lows. And that's where it's going to be important to see how the market behaves when we do get a retest of those December 24th lows. If those lows hold, that's going to be, you know, a very positive sign for the market. But first things first, investors should expect some retest of those December lows. So we're expecting some weakness to come in here after this kind of rally subsides.
Chuck Carlson, always good to have you on. Chuck is CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecasts newsletter. Past programs, later today, a podcast of this hour, WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.